Good morning, Wylie Church family and friends. We are glad that you're with us. I hope that you are huddled up. If you've got a fireplace, I hope that fire's going. I hope you are warm in your home. And we've got just a handful of people this morning to bring you live stream worship. While y'all are at home, and I know you're probably your yards and your homes are beautiful, but here's what we're looking at right now this morning. Isn't that beautiful? Our golf course, the lake, our own private lake, and there's the snow, and we've got neighbors around here building snowmen and igloos and all kinds of stuff. So we are glad that you're here. Did you know that whether we are right here in the same place or whether we are connected in any way, that God is with us, His Holy Spirit is with us. So I pray that we can worship this morning as we thank God for this beautiful snow and for His faithfulness. If you'll pray with me. Father, we, as I just said, we trust You. We ask You to send Your Holy Spirit in this place and in each home that is listening. Father, may it be more than just where we're just consuming a video service. May we worship, each one of us, may we worship this morning the King of Kings. And may the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. And it's in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Let's worship together.
To God be the glory. Raise the
So as Jeff showed the picture this morning about what we're looking at, I was thinking about snowflakes and it's snowing. Are y'all enjoying the snow or maybe getting to go outside and play and maybe build a snowman or maybe have a snowball fight? So also, have you ever tried to catch a snowflake? I tried, but you really can't catch one because you get a whole bunch of them. So, but it's so much fun getting out in the snow and enjoying the beautiful creation that God has made. So there's a few things about snowflakes that I know for sure. Each snowflake has six sides and each one is unique. And the word unique means that they're all different. There are no two snowflakes alike. Isn't that amazing? God is so creative. So I brought some pictures. I'm not sure y'all can see them, but you can also get on the internet and look at the snowflakes. But I brought some pictures of some snowflakes, and they're all very, very different. And how God is so creative in that. And then they're just beautiful, beautiful creations. And you have to get a microscope probably to look at all this and see all the sides and all the details of the snowflakes. So do you ever wonder how God can think of so many different shapes and sizes, not just in snowflakes, but how about in trees and plants and flowers and leaves and animals and us? Did you know that we're all different? God made each one of us unique and special. Some of us are tall, some of us are short, some have different color of skin. Some have different color hair, maybe brown or blonde or black. Some have long hair, short hair, just all different things. We have different color eyes, blues, green, hazel, brown. We're all just unique. And one thing about us, our hands are all different too. If you look at your hands, you see all the different lines. So look at someone else's hands today and look at the lines of their hands and compare them. God is so unique and amazing that He can create us all different. Isn't God amazing and wonderful that He created snow just for us to enjoy? He was so creative in that. And it says in Psalms 139:14, And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. God loves us so much that he made all of us unique and wonderful, just like all the snowflakes that are falling right now. They're all unique and wonderful. So today, I'd like for you to do maybe get you a piece of paper, okay, and cut out you some snowflakes. I cut out a few, and they're all different shapes. You can try to get them exactly alike, but they're never going to be the same. But God loves us so much that he made each one of us unique and wonderful and amazing because he loves us more than anything we can ever understand. And so just remember the snow and enjoy it today and have fun and just go out and look and try to catch a snowflake if you can. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you sent this beautiful snow, and I thank you that each one is unique and wonderfully made, and I thank you that you've made each one of us unique and wonderful because you are God and you love us so much. In your precious Son's name, amen.
It's kind of odd doing a children's sermon with no children, but there's several of us guys that have the mentality of a child that are here. So that, was that helpful to you, Carlene? Okay. We're glad that we could be of service to you. If you're at home, we would love to know that, that you are worshiping with us this morning. There is our Wiley Methodist app where you can go and you can, register your attendance, and especially if you are our guest this morning, if this is your first time being with us, even online, we'd love to know that. There is a guest form for you to register as well. A few announcements before we go into a time of prayer. And I'll tell you what, before I do the announcements, I invite you, you don't have to do this, but in your home, we're going to, here in this place, we're going to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed, this rich and powerful creed that Christians have been saying together for 2,000 years. If you will say this with me, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. That word Catholic meaning universal. Also, I want to encourage you, nobody's pressuring you to be on our email list, but as you can see, even with today, I sent out an email this morning saying that we were live streaming only. There's several different things that I try to keep the church apprised of. So if you would like to be on our email, why don't you just email me with that request. I'll make sure you get on there. My email is jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. And I'll make sure that you get on our email list. Okay, a few announcements. Sunday school, and we will have, as I said in my email this week, we will have the large group for the adults on January the 17th. That's next Sunday. We will start that back. We'll have youth and children's Sunday school as well available for you. And also next Sunday, I will have a discovery class where if you are somewhat new to our church or just curious about to learn more about our church, that's what that's all about, and that is at 9 o'clock next week. You can meet me in the fellowship hall, and we'll go to a room together. And then on January the 20th, a week from Wednesday, we will start our Wednesday night ministries back. If you are not part of a community group as an adult and would like to do that, contact Billy, and his email is bcrim at WileyMethodist.org. And Billy will get you in a group. And also, if you don't feel comfortable coming on Wednesday nights, that's okay. We understand that. But we want to provide that for the people that would like to come. So let's spend some time in prayer. I'm going to, here in just a little while when I begin my sermon, I'm going to speak some to our current events. But obviously, our nation is a mess. And again, I'll talk more about that. But man, someone asked me, you know, this past week, you know, what do I plan to do? And the main thing that I know for Christians right now is just pray. Man, if this doesn't humble us, if this doesn't humble us and put us on our knees for our nation, I don't know what will. So man, we just need to pray for our nation. And I know many people have had loss. Chris, I don't want me to embarrass Chris, but Chris lost Karen in this world, but you will see her again. So she's not eternally lost. She's just lost for a time with you. And Chris is here this morning worshiping, and he wanted to be with his church family. And we love you, brother. We love you. And I know we have had other loss. I know Trey Aiken lost his father recently, and David McNally lost his mom, and I know we've had others, people that are sick, and so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. We need him. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, we come to you humbly, crying out to you. I heard a song that's brand new that I just heard it yesterday. And it basically says, Lord, we need a little help down here. And man, we do. Father, we desperately need you. Even when things are going perfect, we desperately need you. But it's so evident now. You are the Prince of Peace, and we need peace. You're the God of all comfort, and we need comfort. You are our Creator and our Savior, the Alpha and the Omega. We cry out to you. Help us, Lord. There's hearts that are hurting for all sorts of reasons. We trust you in the midst of it all. Come and do what only you can do. Help us, Lord. Help us. May the peace that transcends our circumstances and our understanding, your peace. Jesus, you said that you give peace not as the world gives, but your peace is different. That's what we need. We cry out to you today. We thank you for the moisture that you've given us and the beauty of the snow. I pray that you keep us safe. Thank you for warm homes. I pray, God, just feel a nudge to pray for the homeless this morning that are maybe perhaps out in this. Give them shelter. Give them warmth. Provide a place for them. We love you, Lord. I thank you for this group of believers that have assembled at we call Wiley Methodist Church, but you call us your child. We belong to you, and we are grateful for your love and your compassion and your mercy. your grace, move in power as we worship today. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up, and it's in his name that we pray, and we pray the prayer that he taught us to pray in unison. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
No.
Well, again, glad you are with us this morning from your home. Wanted to tell you that Trevor was going to be here, and he works for IEP, as most of you know, and got called out this morning. Obviously, with this weather, they're probably having some line issues, and Billy's had several, you know, lots of time to prepare. Got the call at 6:30 this morning. Was that what it was? We appreciate you, Billy, for being here to lead worship for us. I am gonna, before I really kind of get into the sermon, I want to talk a little bit about the state of our nation, where we are as a nation. And before I really get too deep into that, I ran across this week. It's 1 minute long. It is a clip from Billy Graham in the mid 70s, as I recall. And I think Billy has something to say to us even today. So go ahead and play that. It'll start us off.
Habakkuk said, "Lord, please tell me what you're doing." And God said, "No, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk, because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it." If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it. Don't you think God's given up and God's abdicated and God's left the throne? He hasn't. He's still on the throne. And those of us that know him put our trust in him and him alone. I don't put my trust in Washington. I don't put my trust in the United Nations. I don't put my trust in myself. I don't put trust in my money. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the rest of it fails and crumbles and shatters, he'll be there.
Okay, let's close with a prayer. Billy said it well. He said it well. You know, I said this in my email this week. There's so many what I call talking heads that everybody's got an opinion, everybody's got a position, everybody has something to say about this, and I really don't want to just be another one of those. A few things came to my mind to piggyback on what Pastor Graham just said. It's amazing that I'm actually starting a sermon series today in God We Trust. I'll talk about that more in a second. But, you know, I don't know about you. I've never put my faith and my trust in the government and in different entities like the FBI and so on and so forth. But even more so now, you know, I tell you what, guys, we have to be careful what we consume. Careful what we consume and believe. We are in such a this day and time with social media, and I think we have a corrupt media. I think, in all honesty, I think we have a corrupt government. I think it's both sides got some explaining to do in that regard. So certainly what we read on Facebook and Twitter and all of that nonsense. Some of that stuff is just made up. Some of it, you know, people get a little bit of facts and they think that they've got the whole picture. I'm just telling us, I just really believe that the Lord would say to us, be careful. Trust me, as Pastor Graham said, he is the only one that is steadfast that we can trust. I'll be honest with you, what day was it that all the craziness happened? Was that Thursday? Wednesday. I'm kind of on a hiatus from the news. So I knew some of that was going on, but I was not sitting in front of my TV or my computer or consuming all of that. And I've just picked up bits enough to know that it was a horrible day, in a lot of ways. As I'm trying to consume all of this and make sense of it, here's a couple of things that came to my mind. Jesus, he came to his people, the nation of Israel, and they did not receive him. And Luke chapter 13, there's a passage, and this is in the middle of Jesus' ministry before his last days on earth. And in Luke 13, 34 and 35, he says, he's standing in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's looking over the city of Jerusalem, and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." I believe that's our nation, church. I believe that's our nation right now. And then, moving forward into Luke 19, Jesus is actually coming to the end of his life on this earth, and he is on his way into Jerusalem for the last time, where he will be crucified and resurrected. And he says this again, he's looking over the city, and it says, "As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it." I believe if he's weeping over Jerusalem because of their unfaithfulness, how much more is he weeping for our nation today? We as Gentile believers, we have been grafted into that covenant that he made with the nation of Israel, and I believe he's weeping over our nation today. I ran across this. I saw a post from Max Lucado, and some of this struck me, and I wanted to share some of this out of Lamentations. Now, this was written by Jeremiah, who is called, somebody say it for me, what's his nickname? Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Why is he called the weeping prophet? Because he was warning the nation of Israel. He was warning them that, man, you need to get your act together. And they weren't listening. And he knew consequences were coming, and he was weeping over the nation. And here's what he says in Lamentations 3, beginning in 19. He says, "I remember my affliction." He had been through it. People trying to kill him and all kinds of stuff. "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, and I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me." So he began. Anybody else's soul downcast when they see all that stuff going on? But here's how he continues. So that's the state he's in. "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed." Man, I hope somebody in their house is saying amen. Somebody say it. "But my soul is downcast within me," Jeremiah says, "yet I call this to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's great love, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." You know, lots of things fail us in this world. Right now, I feel like our government has failed us. I feel like our media has failed us. The list could go on. But his compassions, his mercies will never fail us. He is with us. "They are new every morning," verse 23, "they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." So, man, and this is a challenge to me. As we absorb this, the craziness, to wait on the Lord and trust in him. And again, I'm gonna transition now into my sermon. I don't have anything. I don't have a silver bullet. I don't have anything profound for us to do other than pray. Remain steadfast and pray. And we're going to unpack a little bit on those topics in the sermon today. Let's pray. Father, you are good, and your compassions never fail. And because of your great love, Lord, we are not consumed. Everything around us may be in disarray, but we are not consumed because you love us. And we will wait for you. May you send your Holy Spirit now as we hear your word. May you speak in power and authority, and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. And all this is going to tie together with what I was just talking about as far as my message and the state of our nation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God. Can you, in the midst of this, can we praise Him? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. Very similar message to what Jeremiah had for us. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Anybody need to be shielded by God's power? In this you greatly rejoice. And then it shifts. Peter shifts. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen. Peter has some good words for us. So as I said earlier, I'm beginning a series called In God We Trust. And today's message, I think, fits the moment. Trusting God when it's hard. Trusting God when it's hard. You know, anybody can trust if everything's perfect in our life, if our guy won the election, all of our senators and congressmen are just who we want them to be, if we're healthy and we're happy and everybody's getting along, we got lots of money and all that stuff, it's easy to trust God in those moments. But today's message, trusting God when it's hard. So as we look at that word a little closer, trust, kind of a definition I pulled together, a person or thing in which confidence is placed. And so I was thinking about, what do we trust? What do we trust? You know, as the sermon series title alludes to it, our money says in God we trust. So you know, I think it was in the 50s when that motto, I believe, if my history is, some of you may correct me, but I'm thinking our original motto for our nation was E Pluribus Unum, which I think means out of many, one, if that's a loose translation. And I think it was in the 50s that we changed that to In God We Trust. And it's on all of our currency. Every time we pull a bill out of our wallet or a coin out of our pocket, we would see In God We Trust on those. So I guess the question I have is, do we as a nation and as individual personally, do we really trust God? Do we really trust Him? So I was thinking about what do we... We may not even know we're doing it, but what do we put our trust in? And I just jotted down a few of the bigger things that I can think of where I'm literally putting my trust in somebody else's hands. And the things that came to my mind, surgeons. I've said this before. I've pretty much every part of my body's been operated on. And I don't think about it. It just comes naturally. I'm laying on that cold metal table. And once they get you into the operating room and right before they put you under, I always pray. It just comes very instinctively. I just pray, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. It just comes out. And I'm thinking, I'm fixed to be asleep and these doodads can do anything they wanted to me. And they may make good decisions. They may make bad decisions. I knew someone one time that was a surgeon and he had done a lot of surgeries and his nurses told me later that he'd had knee surgery a couple of months before mine, and they said when he was under anesthesia, because they all knew him and was part of his team, they painted his toenails while he was under anesthesia. And I'm thinking, you know, so when I get out of surgery, I'm always checking my toes. No, I'm not. But we place our trust in surgeons and the team as they put us under. Pilots, when we've got some pilots in our church. When you get on a plane, you know, the old joke, it's like, today's not the day, you know, I'm not supposed to die today, and so I feel good. And said, yeah, but what if it's the pilot's day, you know? So, but we get on a plane and we sit down, and it's like, man, I hope these guys know what they're doing. Guys and gals, I hope they know what they're doing up there. We placing our trust in them. Well, babysitters, when we leave our children with someone and we go off to have a night out or whatever, we're placing our trust that babysitter is going to make good decisions with our children. My goofy youngest daughter talked me into jumping out of a perfectly good airplane a few years ago, skydiving. And I'm looking back and man, you know, I got this guy tied to my back, and here we go jumping out of this plane at 10,000 plus feet, and I'm putting my trust not in him. I'm putting my trust that parachute's going to open and do what it's supposed to do. The other one, I've asked my wife's permission to say this. I'm putting my trust in my wife's vitamins and mineral supplements. I mean, Cheryl just says, take two of these every day. And I'm like, I don't even ask anymore, you know, what's this for? I just like, okay. It's supposed to be good for me. So I started out with a little pill box. It was where you could put like two pills in it. And then I graduated, you know, where you could put four. And now I can put a whole bottle in, you know, I've got 3 weeks worth that I wrote. I mean, so I put my faith that Cheryl's, hey, by the way, if ever I mysteriously die and they're like, I don't know, man, he seemed like he was in pretty good shape. You know, what's the deal? Like Cheryl has one of her vitamins or mineral supplements is probably taking me out. I jest. But we place our trust in all sorts of things and people, don't we? And really and truly, the only person that is completely, absolutely trustworthy is Jesus. I mean, everything else can fail us, and I wasn't going to go here, but I will. I don't want to pounce on this gentleman. He's died a few months ago, but Robbie Zacharias died back in the fall, and was a great man of God that spoke truth into. He just had a wonderful way to communicate the gospel, and was. Cheryl and I both thought very highly of him. Well, it's come out since his death that he had a lot of sexual sin in his life. And, man, I'm just, you know, and it's so disheartening when somebody that you respect, a Christian that you respect, and you find out that, man, there's been some stuff going on that wasn't good, sinful. And one of the things, first thing I told Cheryl was like, well, first of all, we don't know the whole story. There it goes back to who, you know, media and what can we trust. So we don't know the whole story. We don't know what's true and what isn't. So we go there. But then secondly, Robbie Zacharias wasn't Jesus. And neither one of us did ever place our trust in him as our Savior, but you still, it's disheartening. And I just want to tell you, as your pastor, I'm a human being, and I goof up all the time. But I just want to tell you, I'm trying my best to walk in holiness, to honor God, to honor my wife, to honor this church. But man, still, I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. He's the only one we can truly put our trust in. So moving to unpack this scripture today, 1 Peter chapter 1. Through Christ, the first point I want to make, through Christ, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. He says in this these first few verses, verse 3 through 5, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Where does that come from? through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that's the source of that. And it's an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Through faith, we are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is revealed in the last time. So we, and I believe with all my heart, even though, and I, like I said, I'm not trying to, because I really still think a lot of Ravi Zacharias, and I, but I'm thinking about that situation, and I think, you know, I believe he had placed his faith in Jesus Christ. I just think he had, that was his, I don't know, kryptonite or whatever. That sexual sin just got the best of him. He succumbed to it. But I believe with all my heart, Ravi Zacharias is in heaven because he had placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And he had this inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And I, so it's not dependent on our goodness. It's dependent upon Christ's goodness and who he is. And so just to kind of wrap that point up, nothing that happens in this world can rob us of that inheritance. Nothing. Our nation can go crazy. Our government can go crazy. Our media can go crazy. We can have friends and acquaintances that we disagree with, and there can be all sorts of chaos in our world and even in our own life, and nothing that happens can rob us of this inheritance that never perishes, spoils, or fades. And the inheritance was given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. But, moving to point two, there's always a but, isn't there? But trials are inevitable in this life. Robert, I'm sorry, that's a hard one to type up. Robert scolds me for putting big words in the blanks. I'll help you spell that later, buddy. Trials are inevitable in this life. And it seems like we're always surprised by them, but they are. Verse 6 today, if in this you greatly rejoice, talking about the hope and the inheritance that we have in Christ, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. And I think we're there, church. I mean, even if everything was squared away, even if our government was sound and our media was sound and all of the above, everything was rocking along, doing really good, you know, we still got racial strife. We've got the COVID situation. We've got all kinds of other things that are trials. Jesus himself, John 16:33, Jesus said, I have told you these things. Now, before I move on, you're going to know, you probably know the rest of that passage. Before I move on, I've told you these things. If you look back, what did he told the disciples as he's teaching this? He told them that God loved them. He told them that he's going ahead of them. He's going to die. He's going to be resurrected. He's going to go to the Father. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And so, he'll never leave them or desert them. So, that, and how God feels about them personally, he said, so I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now, as I said, I think earlier in the prayer that his peace is different than circumstantial peace, world's peace. The world and circumstantial means everything lines up just right. We can have peace. We can trust God. But he's saying, in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So did you know that God is bigger than COVID? Did you know God is bigger than corrupt politicians? Did you know God is bigger than a corrupt media? Did you know God is bigger than us in our opinions? It's bigger than social media, bigger than anything that we face. But we are inevitable. Trials will be inevitable in this life. Moving on, trials have a purpose. Trials mature us and prove our faith genuine. So Peter is saying, hey, we grounded this eternal hope, this inheritance that we have is founded in Jesus Christ, but trials are probably going to come. And then he goes on to say, give the reason and what that they have a purpose. These trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, the stuff that's gone on this year, but in the past year, but even in this past week, has our faith been proved genuine? Uh-oh. Hey, y'all will be disappointed if I didn't do this. Is this on? Has our faith been proved genuine this week, church? Whew. I think each one of us needs to wrestle with that one. The trials come. Peter's telling us, God's word is telling us, the trials come so that our faith may be proved genuine, so that we can demonstrate to the world that even though everything else is crazy, we're at peace. That doesn't mean we don't get involved. It doesn't mean we don't act and we don't vote and do the things that we can do practically. But in the midst of it all, the trials come so that our faith may be proved genuine and in that we may be matured. Listen to James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Well, hot dog, I love it. Don't you? Don't you just love trials? Well, he's not saying that we should run around going, ooh, it's a trial, yee. No, he's just saying that there's a purpose. Something's happening in the midst of it. I don't know about you, but the past year and this past week, man, it's either put up or shut up. Do you really believe? Do you really believe God is in control? You really believe he's still on the throne? Whenever you face trials of many kinds, you can consider it pure joy because you know that the testing of your faith, that's what this has been and is, develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Man, sometimes, and I've talked about it before, but when I was going and transitioning into ministry and things weren't happening, and Cheryl and I drained our savings, and it was really, it felt like God just wasn't there. And I remember, as I've said before, I was jogging, which is crazy for me anyway. I just needed to do something. I'm jogging right outside these glass windows, and I wasn't associated with this church at the time, and I remember screaming at God. And he should have zapped me, but he listened, and I was screaming at God, I trusted you. Where are you? You failed me. And instead of zapping me, what I felt in my heart that God said, Jeff, I'm breaking you. I'm molding you. I want you to know, and this ties exactly with where we're at, I think, I want you to know that you can't rely on anything or anybody but me. I'm where the rubber meets the road. I am that solid foundation. Trials mature us. They prove our faith genuine, and they draw us to Christ. Now, the other side of that is if we don't have faith, if our faith falters, we can move away from Christ. So that gets back to the our making our faith, establishing, is it genuine? If it's genuine faith, we'll press into him. If it's not, we'll walk away. In that moment when I was jogging and I'm scolding God because I didn't know where he was at and things were not happening the way I thought they should, I pressed into God because I did trust him, because I loved him. And then finally, number four, faithfulness. Through trials brings God praise, glory, and honor. Verse 7. These have come, speaking of the trials, these have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So when the trials come, when when chaos is everywhere. I've told this story before, but it's what's coming to my mind. When John Wesley was coming to America, and this is before he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and before he really got it. And he's coming to America to try to start the church and share Christ with people. And his ship, they get in a storm, and the storm is like fixing to sink them. And John Wesley is, without the Holy Spirit, he is freaking out. He's like, kind of like, we're all going to die. I mean, he's running around panicking. And this little group of believers, the Moravians, whose faith was genuine, they're over in the corner singing Kumbaya. And the storm is, I mean, the waves are crashing. And it's like, we're all going to die. And they're over there, you know, singing praises to God. And when they weathered the storm, they got to land. And John Wesley, again, at this point in his life, he was a young man, thought he had all of his Christianity up here. He went to the Moravians and he's like, what in the world? Why were y'all not afraid? We knew the ship went down, we're going to be with Jesus. Their faith was proved genuine. And later on in life, John Wesley received that same kind of faith. Reminded Jesus, these words from Jesus. And, you know, many times in Scripture, he's referred to as the light of the world. But here's what, and that's true. He is the light of the world. But here's what Jesus also said. You. Not just me, but if you have faith in me, you, church, are the light of the world. Man, if ever our nation and our world needed light, church, it's now. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Faithfulness through trials, church, brings God praise, glory, and honor. And it's going to happen or not happen through his church, through his people, through his bride. As we navigate these uncharted and chaotic times, I believe God is calling us to be the light of the world. And not be as Jesus said, not put our light under a bowl, not to cover it up, but to be the light. People need to see that we're reacting differently than the world is reacting. Perhaps even the way they're reacting. And I think that in so many practical ways, I think God is calling us out. Are we the light of the world on Facebook? How about Twitter? How about the conversations that we have with others? How about just the general, and I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself here. Because it is so easy to just, this week I was beat down to a bloody nub spiritually. I don't know how anybody else felt. I was just beat down. And that's why I told you in my email earlier, it's like, I don't want to respond right away because I just need to absorb and think and pray and ask the Lord. And I believe he is telling us, be the light. I'm the light. You're in me. Be the light of the world. They need that light. And as the darkness increases, the light becomes all the more relevant and bright. It's so much easier when everything else is darkness taking over. Man, the light shines bright. So I ask you if you'd just bow your heads right there at home, right there in your home. Father, forgive us. When we trust other people, other things, other institutions instead of you. Thank you for that inheritance that you've given us in Christ Jesus that can never be stolen from us. Nothing can rob us of that inheritance. But Father, we pray that through these trials that we're facing in our nation and in our own hearts, that we would be drawn to you, that our light, you are the source of that light, that our light would shine brightly. Guard our tongues, oh God. Guard our fingers as we type. Guard our minds as we think and process. We need you. You are the hope for us, and you're the hope for a hurting world. And in you, oh God, we trust. In Jesus' name, amen. No power of hell No scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. We have good news, church. We trust in God alone. Go and tell someone. God bless you. Stay safe. We are dismissed. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.